world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at Marriage on the Rock. Marriage on the Rock, and we've been listening to Jimmy Evans. Jimmy Evans, him and his wife, they've been giving us some helpful insight as it relates to marriage. And today he's going to go a little bit further. And I believe he's going to talk about purity in the marriage. So get close to your radio, ladies and gentlemen, and listen, because I'm really enjoying this, and I hope that you are too. Get close to your radio and listen.
Marriage Today presents The Laws of Possession and Purity by Jimmy Evans.
One of the most important things that we understand related to marriage is there are laws. And a lot of times people are fearful of marriage because they don't understand that there are laws associated with it. Now, I'm a pilot. I'm a licensed pilot. I got my pilot's license last year. My family will not fly with me yet. I mean, let me give that disclaimer. But there are laws related to aerodynamics. And so I'm not afraid to fly as long as I'm respecting the laws, because there are laws. Planes don't just fall out of the air. Is that, you know, when there's a plane that crashes or something that happens wrong, it just didn't happen, you know, just by chance. It's something violated the laws of aerodynamics for that to happen. I say, when you don't understand the laws of marriage, it's a really scary thing. And it was for Karen and me. We got married at 19 years old. We didn't have any pre-marriage preparation before we got married. And so we didn't know. And honestly, I just thought, you're either lucky enough to marry the right person or you're unlucky and you marry the wrong person. And honestly, I loved Karen. I was very attracted to her. I thought I married the wrong person after a few years of marriage, because, and she did too, because it just wasn't working. We didn't know. No one ever told us. We were violating every law of marriage. And so some of you watching right now, you love each other and God puts you together, but you may be frustrated, you may be discouraged, you may be fearful because you've failed before in marriages, or you feel like you're failing now and you don't know what to do. I just want to give you the good news. When God creates anything, He creates it for success. And when God creates anything, He creates it upon the laws of His kingdom and the laws of His word. So when God created marriage, He said some very important words. And this is Genesis 2, 24 and 25. You probably heard this before. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Let me go to the third law of marriage. The third law of marriage is the law of possession. And that means God created marriage to share everything. He says, they too shall become one flesh. For this cause a man shall reprioritize his life and his parents. Now, they're not going to be first any longer. And he's going to work hard to pursue his spouse. And by the way, that's addressed to men there, working hard to pursue your wife. And they too shall become one flesh. And what this means is we share everything. in this marriage. And this is going to sound like kind of a simplistic statement. Marriage is about sharing. It doesn't matter if you have kids in common. It doesn't matter if you share the same house. It doesn't matter if you share a checkbook. Do you share a life? Marriage is about sharing. And when the Bible uses the term for intimacy in marriage, it says one. Now here's what this means. Everything before you got married that you owned and administrated individually, now you do it together with no exceptions. It's our money, it's our time, it's our children, even from a blended family. And let me say this, one of the most important things in blended families is giving your spouse ownership of the children. And I'll say something else about that in just a minute. They may not be the biological parent, but they have to have full ownership. Anything that I will not give to you going into the relationship will create problems in our marriage. In fact, it creates jealousy, just the way that I said before. But here's the way that people violate the law of possession. One is dominance. Some people, and it's very common, in most marriages, there's a dominant partner in most marriages. But dominance destroys the passion and intimacy of marriage. Men and women are totally equals in every way. Karen and I never discuss who the boss in our marriage is because Jesus Christ is the boss of our marriage. And we were totally equals. But when we first got married, I was dominant. You can be dominant through the force of your personality. You can be dominant through intimidation. In other words, you're going to pay a price if you cross me. You're going to pay a price if you speak your mind. You can be dominant through manipulation. But dominance is as common for men as it is women, and women as it is men. It's not a male issue or a female issue. It's a gender-neutral issue. But dominance simply means I'm not going to share. It's mine. Basically, it's mine, and I'm going to control it. It's my kids, my money, my house, my schedule, whatever it is. And so, but it's always destructive. They've done studies on dominance, and it's always proven where you have dominance present in a relationship, and to the degree that you have dominance present, it lowers the satisfaction of the marriage. Because there's one spouse being dominated. They're not an equal. They're not sharing. They're being controlled, basically. Another problem with the law of possession is independence, is that I'm just going to do my own thing. I counseled a couple one time, and she said, well, he goes to that side of the house, and I go to this side of the house. And she said, I sit over here all night, and he sits over there all night in his office gambling. And she said, that's our marriage right there in a nutshell. And she had done everything she could to try to reach out to him. And I told him, I just said, you know, marriage is about sharing. And he was independent. And marriage is brutal on selfish people. Marriage is not about independence. Marriage is about interdependence. If you want to be independent, stay single. But even if you're single, you're not independent. You need God. We're dependent upon God. Independence and selfishness destroys a marriage. Interdependence. I need you. I didn't get married so I could live alone on that side of the house. I got married so I could share my life with someone. Another problem with the law of possession is protection. And let me go back to the blended family issue in just a minute. I've counseled a lot of blended families where they get together and there's children from a previous marriage. Maybe they didn't want the marriage. Maybe they don't trust the spouse or whatever. I counseled one couple in particular. He had no authority over the kids. And it's typically better, especially when the family is new, when the marriage is new, if the biological parent does the discipline. That's typically better. It just makes sense that if, you know, they're my biological children, I'll do the discipline. But the non-biological parent has to have full authority to discipline if necessary and to protect themselves. And some people say, listen, you know, they've been through a hard time and I just don't want to do that. In fact, one woman said to me, I don't trust him with the kids. And I said, in other words, you trusted him with your life to marry him, but you don't trust him with your children. And what happened was he was in the home and he was a fair target. These kids were coming after him every day with actions and words that was ruining the quality of his life. And he said, I can't take it anymore. And I turned to her and I said, listen, he's got to have ownership of your children. And she said, I won't. There are no exceptions to this. And this is an interesting scripture. This is 1 Corinthians 7. It says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. This is so profound that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 is saying, when you get married, you actually give authority sexually of your body over to your spouse. This is not a license for abuse. This is just a license for use. And what this ensures is the fact that I'm not going to use my body against you or as a weapon or as a bargaining chip. This is not my body. This is your body to take care of your needs. And that is the spirit of marriage, the way God designed it. They too shall become one flesh. And protection. I'm not going to protect the kids from you. I'm not going to protect the money from you. We're partners. We're going to make all of our decisions together. You establish the law of possession in your marriage by asking your spouse's input on every decision and never making a decision without your spouse. And never making your spouse pay a price for telling you the truth. The spirit of a good marriage is we're partners here. We may be different. We may have different money languages. We may have different needs. We may have different perspectives. But that just makes us better. That just makes us stronger. I'm not going to make a decision without your input. And our relationship is more important than the issues. We share everything. It's the word my destroys marriages. It's our. It's our children. It's our schedule. It's our home. It's our money. Prenuptial agreements are a death sentence to a relationship. A prenuptial agreement basically just says, I'm not going to give you this. This is, I don't trust you with this. And if we divorce, I don't want to lose the aquarium and my Volkswagen. And the aquarium and the Volkswagen then become this despised object in the home that your spouse knows. They love that more than they love me. You say, well, what if we get a divorce? It's going to hurt really bad and you're going to lose a lot. So you better work at your marriage. Listen, is it any surprise that things end badly when you've planned the end from the beginning? When you get married, we say these words, till death do us part. We're going to work hard at our relationship and we're going to learn about marriage because this is till death do us part. We're going to be happy or we're going to be two old, miserable people. But we're not getting out of this thing. We're going to stay committed to it. There's one of the law of marriage, it's the law of purity. It says the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed. And this is before the fall. This is before sin entered the Garden of Eden. Isn't it wonderful that God, by the way, the word Eden means pleasure and delight. God created marriage in a place that means pleasure and delight. And he created Adam and Eve naked. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that just great? They were naked. I mean, you think about how God created marriage. It was great. And so they were naked until the fall. And you remember after the fall, the first thing that happened is they put on fig leaves. And they began to hide from each other. Now listen, they put the fig leaves on their genitals, which are the areas where you're different and you're most sensitive. Those are the most sensitive areas of your body. But what's the point? When you're living your marriage in purity, you can expose your differences and you can talk about all the sensitive areas of your marriage without a problem. But when you have sin in your marriage and you're sinning against each other, you cannot trust each other and you have to hide your differences and your sensitivities. When Karen and I got married, I was verbally abusive and dominant. And I didn't know my wife. I didn't know my wife, but you know, I had so hurt her through the things that I had said that she was covered with fig leaves. I mean, literally, she wasn't going to tell me about the sensitive areas of her life because, you know, when I got mad, I would take advantage of it. And I was just insensitive. When I repented and living in purity, the law of purity just simply means this. I have to be careful about what I do because everything I do affects you. And when I make a mistake, I have to take responsibility for it. Those are two things I didn't do. I wasn't careful, and I'd never said I was sorry. And I didn't know my wife. We didn't have intimacy. We had sex. She was good about meeting my sexual needs, but we didn't have any intimacy in sex because we didn't know each other. We didn't talk on any deep level. I went to Karen, and I asked her for her forgiveness when I hung my golf clubs up and when the Lord began to change my heart. I asked for her forgiveness, and she forgave me. And she said, Jimmy, you really wounded me with your mouth. And I said, I understand that, Karen. I said, I'm sorry, and I ask you for forgive me. And so the fig leaf started coming off her. And she began, it didn't happen overnight, but, you know, after several weeks and several months, I noticed that she began to tell me things I didn't know. And one day she was talking to me, and she told me something, and I said, well, how long has that been going on? She said, well, years. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me that before? And she said, I couldn't trust you. But today, the sister's naked. And Life is good. Life is real good. But, you know, you can live in the same house, but I'm not, if you got a mouth on you, if you hurt my feelings and you're disrespectful to me and you're sarcastic and you're critical and you won't take responsibility for it, you think my heart is a holy of holies, and this is a sensitive place in all of us. All of us are more sensitive than we would want to admit. I cannot trust my heart of hearts to somebody who won't take responsibility for their behavior. When you're careful in the way that you treat each other, and when you take responsibility for your mistakes, the fig leaves come off. And when it says the man and his wife were both naked and unashamed, it meant mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, they could talk about anything without shame. No shame. I'm not afraid in any way that you will reproach me, because I trust you. You're my safe place. You're my safe place. So your spouse, we should be each other's safe place. Where I will be careful, and if I do something wrong, I'll take responsibility for it. But remember, blame transfer was the original sin of marriage. God came to Adam and said, Adam, what is this that you've done? He said, it's her fault. Eve, what is this that you've done? Devil made me do it. I honestly believe if they would have taken responsibility for their issues, that God would have had a different response to them.
All right, that was Reverend Jimmy Evans. And he was talking about marriage on the rock, and he was dealing with possession and purity in marriage. All right, well, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.